Well, if anyone was wondering to themselves, what's the most important thing for me to do with my life? You have an answer today, straight from the lips of Jesus. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And that sounds simple enough, right? All I have to do is love God. But if we start to think about it more, we realize that's a bit of a taller order than we first realized. How exactly am I supposed to love God with everything I have? How do I do that? So let's look at each of the three ways of loving that Jesus mentions. First, he tells us to love God with all your heart. Well, the heart is the emotional center of man. It's the place where our deepest desires are, where they come from. And we should indeed desire God. But it shouldn't be a surface-level desire or a very weak desire. It should be a deep yearning. If you watch TV or movies, there's this romantic trope that happens a lot where we're all kind of waiting to meet the one, Mr. or Mrs. Right, and we'll run into them, and they're just going to be great, a perfect match for us, and it's going to be so exciting, and our whole universe is going to be centered on them, and they're going to make us fulfilled and happy, and we can never be separated from them again, right? Well, and anyone who's sort of started a relationship has probably experienced something like that in the first stages. It's sort of a flood of emotions, a euphoria, kind of. But no person can fulfill that role in our lives. They can't be the one that we put all of our hope in, the one that we count on to fulfill us no matter what, because they're flawed human beings just like we are. Instead, we have to put that hope and that yearning in God, because then we can have a hope and a yearning that's not based solely on emotions. Right? So a married couple, when they first get married, it's very exciting and fresh. And then as time goes on, that excitement can start to fade. Well, the same thing can happen with our relationship with God. When we first get to know him, we can be very excited. We have this spiritual awakening. But then the excitement can begin to fade. But by grace, it's replaced with something deeper. It's replaced with the yearning for not how God makes me feel or what he does for me, but for God himself, for his sake alone. The second way Jesus tells us to love is with all your soul. And the soul is the thing which gives us life. It's our spiritual principle, kind of the core of the person. And so the purpose and objective of our life is God. So we should orient our whole lives towards him. Because each of us is journeying towards God. And one day we hope to see him face to face. But in order to see him face to face, first, we have to be open to his presence in our lives. And to have God present in our lives, we need to be willing to let go of the things that are taking up space, right? So if you buy a second car for your two-car garage, odds are you're going to have to make room for it by getting rid of some stuff, because garages have a way of accumulating stuff. And most of it's just junk that we don't really need anyway, so you throw it away so you can park the car there. Well, in a similar way, if we want a deeper union with God, we're going to have to throw away some of the useless activities in our lives, the things we do that don't really bring us any lasting satisfaction. And these are the ones that leave us drained when we do too much of them, like watching TV or browsing the internet or getting on Facebook, things like that. They're fine in moderation. There's nothing wrong with them in themselves. But when there's too much of it, when we get done, we just feel more tired. One of my guilty pleasures is I like to play Risk on my cell phone every once in a while. And it's fine. If I play for like 10 minutes, it's a good way to sort of relax in between maybe tasks, take a break from writing a paper or a homily or something. But I find if I play for 20, 25 minutes, something like that, when I get done, I just feel awful because all I've done is I've moved little virtual men around a little virtual board and defeated a virtual enemy. And that's all worthless. it doesn't matter at all in the long run. And so I just feel like I've wasted my time because we're not meant for things that are virtual. We're meant for reality. And there's nothing that's more real than God. St. Jose Maria has this great line, "Time is our treasure, the money with which to buy eternity." So each of us is given so much time on this earth, and we choose how we're going to spend it. And generally, people spend their time on things they care about. If you show me your schedule, I'll show you the things that actually matter to you. So we should put some of our time towards the things of God. And this is when we put our desire for Him, our love of the heart, into action by doing good works, which will bring us closer to Him. So frequenting the sacraments, coming to Mass, coming to confession, praying, living out our vocation, doing charitable deeds, things like that. Finally, Jesus tells us that we need to love God with all your mind. And the mind is our intelligence. It's how we think and understand the world, where we get our reason from. And we use our mind to attempt to understand God. Our faith is full of mysteries, things that at first seem to make no sense. They're paradoxes, but we can delve further into them, always further in, to get a greater understanding of who God is. Things like the Trinity. What does it mean that God is one, yet three persons? The Incarnation, the eternal Son who exists outside of time and creation, who created everything, became man and entered time and creation. How does that work? Redemption. Jesus' suffering has overcome our sins. What does that mean generally, and what does that mean for me? The last things, judgment, purgatory, hell, heaven. What are those like? Where am I heading? What am I excited about? What am I afraid of with those? Those are all things we can constantly learn more about throughout our entire lives. But we don't only just try to understand God, we also try to understand, how does God relate to me? What is prayer? How do I pray? What are the Ten Commandments? What is the moral teaching of the Church? And what do either of those have anything to do with a relationship with God or being a good person? And we can answer all of these questions through study. We can read the Scriptures. Of course, it's the Word of God where He speaks to us. We can read the Catechism. We can read just good books on Catholic spirituality or theology that are at our level so we can understand them. There's also a lot of opportunities at the parish for continuing education, Bible studies or the inquiry class, things like that. But the trick is that we want to make sure we're not just studying God as if He's a subject, like geography or math that we'd study in school. Because God isn't a subject, He's a person who we're trying to get to know. So whenever we learn something about God, we get that knowledge, we want to make sure we meditate on it, bring it to prayer, so that it becomes absorbed into us, and it changes the whole way we relate to God, we look at the world, the way we act, all of that. So these three ways of loving God, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, can really just be summarized as love God with everything you have, with your entire person, holding nothing back. And like with all good things, Jesus is a perfect example of this for us, because Jesus loved us in exactly this way. He yearned for us. He loved us with His heart. And He yearned for us so much that He acted for our sake. He became man and died on the cross. He had a great love of the soul for us. And of course, He knows us perfectly, better than we know ourselves. Now, if upon reflection we come to realize that the love we have of our heart, our soul, or our mind is in some way lacking, we shouldn't be discouraged, because everybody is still growing in love on this earth. Every single person, no matter how holy, lacks in some way how they love God. So we shouldn't be discouraged. Instead, we should be encouraged that we can continue to grow in love. And we begin by making small changes. If we realize that we don't love God with the heart very well, then we can pray for the grace to desire Him. If we realize that we don't love God with the soul very well, we can take a look at our schedule and how we live our lives and figure out what changes we could make to open ourselves to God's presence more. And if we realize we don't love God with our mind very well, we can do something to start learning about Him more, something each day or at least each week. And the idea is to turn the spark of divine love that is burning within each of us into a blaze that grows and grows until it consumes us entirely. And then our love will begin to shine brighter and brighter until eventually it's shining more gloriously than the stars. I'd like to end with the prayer of St. Thomas that I've been saying for all of you for the past couple days, and that I hope our Lord will answer for each one of us here today. Grant me, O Lord my God, a mind to know You, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope of finally embracing you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.